Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom Yehudim, shalom Lebnei Noach, shalom Goyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program named for the book of the same name that plunges a dagger into the dark heart of the anti-Jews' current poisonous tale of Jewish evil, this generation's way of hating the children of Israel for the alleged crucifixion of the archaic Palestinians. That frightening story of evil Jews stealing Palestine from the putatively Paleolithic Palestinian people. And never mind, history left no trace, no record of such a people ever living here. Today we will attempt a novel defense of the anti-Jewess of the moment, Tamika Mallory, feminist crusader, organizer of the Women's March Against Porcine Male Chauvinists for Making Women Unhappy, who also is a soul sister to those two Muslims in Congress now, and Linda Sarsour, all three of them opposed to Jews living free of the oppression and humiliation the Quran prescribes for us Jews. There is, you know, a verse like that. Jews and Christians and other infidels who pay for the right to continue in their own religion must also be, quote, oppressed and humiliated. And that was the way of life of Jews over 14 centuries of Islam until 1948, when the Jews declared independence, declared they would no longer live as an oppressed and humiliated minority under a cruel and barbaric Muslim majority. What the foolish peace processors, who have never succeeded, continue to do is design peace plans based on dividing the land between Jews and these so-called Palestinians, when the fuel that feeds the violence here has nothing to do with the division of the land or absence thereof. The peace processors have yet to understand this violence of the Arabs attacking Jews never has anything to do with sharing this land, creating a Palestinian state. As my book shows, for the first biblical generation of 40 years after the League of Nations created a jurisdiction called Palestine that never existed under Muslims, the Arab-Muslim policy was a complete rejection of the notion of a Palestine, because never in 14 centuries had there been such a country with that name that they called it. The official position until the 1960s was that there was no such country called Palestine. And they were absolutely right. Never in Arab-Muslim history had there been such a land here that was home to people calling themselves Palestinians and being called Palestinians by others. And in today's podcast, we will paradoxically offer a defense of Tamika Mallory, this product of that low-life anti-Jew Baptist preacher Al Sharpton and his soulmate Louis Farrakhan. And we will get started after the following message from Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom la Yehudim, shalom la Bnei Noach, shalom la Goyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program named for the book of the same name that skewers this generation's way of hating Jews, the crucifixion of the allegedly archaic Palestinian people, the frightening saga of the evil Jews who stole Palestine from the putatively prehistoric Palestinians, and never mind, history left no trace, no record of such a people ever living here. It's the second day, Tu B'Shvat, Parashas Yisro, Tavshin Ayin Tes, 5779. First day, Monday, 21 January 2019. Podcasting from real Israel, not the Israel in the mind of Tamika Mallory, a political activist who grew up under the spiritual influence of Reverend Al Sharpton, a Baptist minister and soul brother of Louis Farrakhan, a Muslim minister, both of them known for hating Jews. On the Sabbath, Shabbos, 2 days ago, Tamika a native New Yorker, self-described Christian, led the various groups of marching ladies protesting against their mistreatment by patriarchal society as they see things in various cities. She was interviewed on PBS and refused to affirm Israel's right to exist because, she explained, the Palestinians are, quote, the native people, and Israelis, quote, brutally oppress them. This is a corruption of history in a class with the Holocaust denial. She is an Al Sharpton protege, that low-life anti-Semitic race hustler who was invited to the White House in the Obama years more than any other guest I've heard. This creep who supported the hysterical Tawana Brawley hoax of the 1980s and was also connected to the murder of a Jewish shopkeeper in Harlem. He was a mentor to Tamika Mallory, who believes that we villainous Jews stole Palestine from the native Palestinians and continued to oppress them brutally, as blacks in apartheid South Africa were abused brutally. Hers are the common thoughts of billions of Muslims and other third world peoples today. And Israel is no help when it comes to such ignorance. I say that if you want to put a stop to Tamika Mallory and those two Muslim women in Congress spewing their poison, the Prime Minister here needs to create a media event like unveiling the latest smartphone or a Hollywood premiere, promise a surprise, a major policy speech guaranteed to stun the world. He should set a date and a time to make an announcement. He should do it before the TV cameras of all the major news channels. And with the whole world watching, he should say that we Jews are the indigenous inhabitants of what others call Palestine. And this Israeli government looks upon the Palestinian movement for national liberation to be a fraud, fake history. Those today who call themselves Palestinians are imposters because there's nothing Palestinian about them. There never was a Palestinian people in history, and the claim that today's so-called Palestinians have a legitimate claim on Palestine, that it's theirs, that claim is completely bogus. Palestinian nationalism is just another anti-Semitic idea, like Christianity's deicide charge, like the blood libel charge, still alive and well in Arabic, by the way, that we Jews must murder a Gentile for his blood as an ingredient in Passover matzah. Anti-Jew allegations are forever mutating after Christianity went out of fashion in 18th and 19th century Europe. Among the chattering classes, the Marxists came along and rebranded the Jews as not Christ killers, but greedy capitalist Jew bankers who start wars because that is when they make the most money as war profiteers and don't care how many people die for their greed. European folklore contains stories of vampires, of Dracula, the Wolfman, and in the blood libel, the Jews are the vampires. Israel's prime minister might teach the world that Palestinian nationalism is in a class as a perversion of history with Holocaust denial, and that the Israeli government is under no moral obligation to play along with this fantasy that we stole Palestine and brutally oppressed the natives. So long as the prime minister of Israel does not speak that way, the Tamika Mallorys and Linda Sarsours have the field to themselves. Diaspora Jews, likewise, following Israel's lead, whose leaders in Israel were the uneducated fools Rabin and Peres, raised on the toxic nonsense of Marxism, they never took up arms against this generation's successor to the deicide charge of generations past. This anti-Semitic fantasy of a dispossessed Palestinian nation was conceived by Gamal Abdel Nasser in 1959, an imitation of the terror war in Algeria at the moment, that he supported, the Muslims against the French. This idea gestated for a decade and was born after the Six-Day War of 1967. Thousands of Jews have been maimed for life and murdered in the name of this phantom nation of Palestinians, with Israel foolishly trying to negotiate with this hoax of a nation. The last line of writing in my book is not in English, but in Hebrew, from Sefer Dvarim, that's the Book of Deuteronomy, Chapter 32, verse 21. The Art Scroll translation reads, quote, "They provoked me, capital M, with a non-god, angered me with their vanity, so I shall provoke them with a non-people, with a vile nation shall I anger them," close quote. This is another among many ancient biblical prophecies that have come true. And in our time, the non-God for secular Zionists was Marxism or liberalism or socialism, communism, anything but Yiddishkeit, Jewishness, the Jewish religion. The secular Zionism, just another ism, another man-made ideology without God. And for this, we in Israel suffer at the hands of a, quote, non-people, a vile nation. Too many Jews worship socialism in all its forms, including communism. The God That Failed, that's the name of a famous book by former Marxists, honest ones, disappointed in how the Soviet Union turned out, disappointed in the rule of the mass-murdering, psychopathic tyrant Joseph Stalin. Last Tuesday in New York City, inside that great temple of international diplomacy called the UN, Mahmoud Abbas, one of the Olympic Games terrorists, was chosen by 134 nations to chair their faction called the G77 bloc inside the UN, with its total of 193 member states. It's most of the UN. Most of these G77 members are called developing countries, which is the current euphemism for what used to be called less developed countries, and before that, underdeveloped countries, and before that, uncivilized countries. And so it's not surprising that they chose Mahmoud Abbas, the Jew killer, because such societies are commonly rife with corruption, age-old frictions between Christians and Muslims, between clans and tribes. They're ruled by third-world dictators, as terroristic in their climb to power as Mahmoud Abbas and his friend Arafat. Of course, they see in Israel everything they are not, and resent and hate the Jews for that. Israel's so tiny compared to them in size, and without any natural resources besides some potash and good earth, made fertile again by the Jews. There was no Palestinian people here ever working and loving this land. Israelis must create wealth with their minds and have created an acceptable, if imperfect, modern, free, capitalist, liberal society. It has been normal throughout Jewish history for peoples, in the Hebrew word that is goyim, meaning nations, have envied the Jews, resented the Jews, hated the Jews for our literacy, our lifestyle, the life of the mind, our education. For centuries, despite the hatred fostered by Christian priests, Jews were always the preferred physicians in the courts of the kings of Europe. And when the Jews claim to be God's chosen people, they engender hostility, and bile in the gorge of the anti-Jew starts to rise.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
So before that lovely music, we left off with that vote last week at the UN of 134 nation states choosing as their, I guess, honorary chairman, Dr. Mahmoud Abbas, PhD, the historian whose thesis proved there was no Holocaust. He is also simultaneously the head of the greatest Jew-killing cult since Germany's Nazi party, the Fatah gang, gussied up and disguised as the distinguished Palestinian Authority. This is what the United Nations has become, a talk fest for the Goyim, the nations of the world for whom Jew bashing is their daily fare. The United Nations is a major focus of my book, so I, for one, am not at all shocked or surprised that so many countries would choose this Jew killer as their leader, though in their defense, their behavior, I believe, is Israel's fault for never developing a verbal Iron Dome system for shooting down the toxic fantasies inside the crania, such as Abbas and Tamika Mallory, and in the heads of these 134 nations, they all are of the view that the Palestinians are the indigenous native people whose ancient homeland the Jews stole from them. Tamika Mallory, in her interview on PBS, said as much, and this is because Israel has never, leastwise since Golda Meir, of blessed memory, in 1969, since then, no Israeli has ever said we don't recognize such a nation of Palestinians, and certainly not those Arabs claiming that identity whom Israel should say have no right to independence in the middle of our ancient biblical promised land. In a way, one can understand a Tamika Mallory with this anti-Semitic fairy tale in her head, because in her world, no one has ever told her the truth. In fairness to her, there's nothing wrong with her feelings, with her rejection of Israel, because they are based on these myths, lies, and fantasies. If the reality were as she believes, of course she has to refuse to recognize this terrible predatory country called Israel that stole an entire country from another nation and continues to brutally oppress them. Tamika Mallory's attitude toward Israel is perfectly understandable, based on the narrative she has been told, that was never corrected by either the government of Israel or the established so-called Jewish defense organizations in the United States, like the ADL, the American Jewish Congress, the federations, etc. No one dare raise high the banner of Golda Meir, who spoke the truth in 1969. It's the first page of my book, after which World Anti-Jewry turned her interview into evidence of her and Zionism's racism. Say today, as Golda, blessed memory, said in 1969, that there are no, there never were any Palestinians, and you are branded a racist, a bigot, an imperialist, a fascist, colonialist, interloping Zionist thief of another nation's entire homeland, whose rights to this land are just as valid as the Jews' rights. Tamika Mallory is not only a protege of Al Sharpton, but an apparent admirer of Louis Farrakhan, whose one claim to fame, to notoriety, really, is his old-fashioned religious Jew hatred, Islam's Jew hatred, a religious hatred conceiving of Jews as satanic devils. Louis Farrakhan is some kind of fossil personality, a living remnant of pre-Christian pagan culture, Arab culture, which sees in the world the jinn, demons, vampires. Without Farrakhan's outbursts of Jew hatred, no one would have ever heard of this man. He's a true parasite. Without his obsessive clinging to the Jews, albeit in hatred, his attachment, he has nothing to offer mankind as a preacher. Not one Jewish leader in America or Israel has the courage to stand up and denounce the lies of the Palestinians as the as in a class with the blood libel fantasy and Holocaust denial. Also on the dying post-religious American Jewish community scene, more of the old-time secular organizations, founded in the era of the great influx of 2 million Jews from Russia and Eastern Europe between the years 1881 and 1921, these organizations are dying off. The contributions to America of this community that they served were immense. Jews excelled in science, medicine, publishing, journalism, entertainment. The Jews dominated Hollywood, the Broadway stage musicals, TV comedies. At one point, the heads of the three national networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC, were all Jewish. Their airways featured battalions of Jewish comedians making the country laugh. A Jew, Samuel Gompers, created the AFL, American Federation of Labor. Jews were major contributors in the fight for civil rights for Negroes. It was a Jew who created the NAACP. But now that world, the world of that generation of European Jews and their offspring, calls to mind one of the saddest verses in the five books of Moses, found in the opening chapter in the second book, Exodus, chapter 1, verse 6, lamenting the disappearance of the generation of the matriarchs and the patriarchs of the Jewish people. Every year we read about these people, and again we are never bored, always discovering new insights and angles in their lives. This verse says simply, quote, Joseph died, and all his brothers, and that whole generation. This is the verse that seals the age of the patriarchs and matriarchs with their amazing stories. And what a literary critic might call a multi-generational family saga, starting with Abraham and Sarah, through son Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov, grandson Leah and Rachel, and their 13 children, who at the end of the first book are part of a party of 70 people making the trek down into Egypt. Then the very next verse, verse 7, continues, quote, the children of Israel were fruitful, teeming, increasing, becoming strong, very, very much so, and the land became filled with them, close quote. And that would lead to Egypt's understandable fear that the Jews might someday take Egypt from them. That verse 6, though, Joseph died and all his brothers and that entire generation. That came to mind in reading yesterday a couple news stories, really the same one in different locales. In New York City, what is left of the Jewish Daily Forward, established in 1897, Yiddish paper, is ending its print edition in English. And I assume the original Yiddish version died years ago. The English edition began in 1990 as a weekly. Then 2 years ago, it became a monthly. Now 40% of the staff is being laid off, and the publication will continue online only. At its peak in the 1920s, the Forwitz, that's the Yiddish for forward, was the largest socialist daily newspaper in the United States, with a run of like 200,000 copies a day. The newspaper was the handiwork of editor-in-chief Abe Kahan, whose mission was helping his readers become Americans. Of course, as a social democrat, he was anti-religious, and like the uptown rich reformed Jews, he was utterly opposed to Zionism. Abe Kahan wanted Jews in America. He even wrote a two-volume history of America in Yiddish, which two volumes I have on my bookshelf.
ולומר לה יש לומר להם כמה יפים הם כמה יפים הם שהם קמים לומר להם יפה הוא העולם יפה הוא העולם יפה הוא העולם יפה הוא העולם
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
So, the foreword, once so popular among Jews, is headed for the graveyard. The great-grandchildren of its readers at their peak know nothing of Yiddish, nothing of the Jewish religion. The foreword is thus on a path to the same fate as Hayas, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society established about the same time, in the 1890s. Likewise, as secular as the foreword, today they have dropped the H from their name and have shed any special concern for immigrant Jews in the world. They are a universalist charity. And now, in that second story yesterday from Boston, the chapter of the Workman's Circle there, another Jewish self-help organization, it has been expelled from the Jewish Community Relations Council there for supporting an organization that supports BDS. Jews who are alienated from the land of Israel and the millions of Jews who live here are truly no longer Jewish. The Anti-Defamation League, likewise, founded in 1912 in the wake of the lynching of a Jew falsely accused of murdering a 13-year-old Christian girl, the ADL has morphed into something new, but maybe not. I once applied for a job there, and I didn't get it, but at least I learned something from the interview that, contrary to the PR and the image of the ADL, it never really was a Jewish organization, but an American organization for Americans of Jewish extraction who didn't want that fact to harm them in their very American lives. The ADL has been as much of an engine of assimilation as the Fovitz, as Reform Judaism, so-called, which is no longer Jewish as a religion, Every religion has metaphysical beliefs and earthly behaviors, rituals, routines. Each has a theory and a praxis. And what Reformed Jews today believe is not classical Jewish thought. And as for their behavior, theirs has become a polyester version of authentic Jewish life, thought, and lifestyle. Reformed Jews do not honor the Ten Commandments. In particular, number 4, keep the Sabbath. No Reformed Jew does. None practices the spiritual discipline of appetite control called the kosher system of food preparation and consumption. The Reformed Jew does not use a ritual bath, a mikveh. The Reformed Jew produces no mohalim, ritual circumcisers, no sofrei stam, scribes, to write the Torah scroll, to write the tefillin, the phylacteries, and marriage contracts. There's no fasting on the 9th of Av for a Reformed Jew, let alone the other half-day fast. There's no blessing of each month's new moon. Reformed Judaism itself, as self-described as another stream in Judaism, is just not so. It's not Judaism at all. Lacking not only the above, it lacks the age-old prohibition against marrying non-Jews. The Reformed do this guiltlessly and with the blessing of their rabbis, a percentage of them sexually disordered individuals. Of the same 70% of American Jews that voted against the most pro-Israel presidential candidate ever in 2016 are the same 70% marrying non-Jews, which is a proven prescription for the extermination of this people. We saw another symptom of this morbidity in the Jewish community last spring at the annual AIPAC conference in Washington, when for the first time since its founding in the 1950s, the organization rejected the policies of the current Israeli government in favor of the fashionable two-state solution that every sober Israeli who lives here knows will never happen. The one unintended consequence and positive feature of the otherwise miserable destruction of Gush Katif, the Jewish communities in the Gaza Strip in 2005, was the lesson learned. Not only did the evacuation not transform the Arabs in Gaza into peaceful, friendly neighbors, they became more violent than ever with their rocket attacks. Official Israel has never been able to think clearly about Gaza and how to solve the problem of its perpetual violent aggression against us, and that's because, like people who are not observant in the diaspora, they have lost a Jewish way of thinking that never yearned for a place among the nations. That's the title of a book written by Benjamin Netanyahu, son of a secular Jew who spurned the religion. Not for secular Zionists like father and son Netanyahu to accept being a people that dwells alone, in the words of the Gentile prophet Bilam, found in the book of Numbers. They want Israel to be a normal country like all the nations. But I say, so long as the national ethos here is that, so long as mainstream Israelis worship at the altar of this non-god of an ambition to be normal, God will provoke us with the herd of Arabs, this non-people, this vile nation who surround us and embitter our lives. So, it was, though, in the good news department last week on Thursday, the now former head of the U.S. Agency of International Development handling Gaza and the so-called West Bank, Mr. Dave Harden, told the Jerusalem Post that at the end of the month, the 31st, the U.S. will cease all funding to the Arabs in Gaza, Judea, and Samaria. Though it's a fair bet, Mr. Harden referred to these soon-to-be-cut-off Gentiles as the Palestinians. Harden was appointed by President Bush 43, and he's angry about the Trump decision that, quote, demonstrates a lack of nuance and sophistication and appreciation for the complexity of the situation, close quote. He said this policy is, quote, another example of the end of the two-state solution. After the policy was announced in December, he tweeted, this is another example of the administration vacating political space, putting at grave risk any hope of stability, and ceding influence to adversaries. And by that he seems to have meant leaving the space to Hamas. Likewise, Dan Shapiro, last in a chain of State Department Jew boys to serve as ambassador here, in his case serving his master, Barack Hussein, he said the Trump decision is, quote, unbelievably short-sighted. It cuts off programs that have improved economic and security conditions for Palestinians and Israelis. It breaks up a highly experienced professional team. And we will build the mission all over again in the next administration at great cost, close quote. Yeah, a highly experienced professional team, Dan. but you didn't bring peace, did you? These people are pathetic. Do they really think it's possible, via American handouts, to transform the Arab Muslims here from homicidal and suicidal maniacs into friendly, cooperative neighbors? It's been a quarter century since this brainstorm poisoned our lives. This was the vision of that famous Marxist visionary, Shimon Peres, with his Oslo peace plan. Turn over Judea and Samaria to Arafat, Abbas, and their fellow cutthroat murderers of Jews, and they will want to cooperate with Israel for the mutual benefit of both peoples. Give them Judea and Samaria, and when they have a state, they will become sober, prudent, moderate statesmen who want the best for their people and a harmonious relationship with the state of Israel next door. Yeah, right. Things didn't work out that way, did they? Okay, that's it for today. And if you appreciate this podcast, one way to say thanks is buying my Phantom Nation, which some have said must be read by every Jewish university student in the English-speaking countries. That will immunize him and her from the poison of Palestinian nationalism in our time that took the place of the anti-Semitism, that took the place of the deicide charge. The book's available online at geffenpublishing.com, also on amazon.com in hardcover, or a Kindle ebook. This week's music was provided by Daniel Ahaviel and Yehuda Glantz. The theme is Hilik Frank and Carmi Naor. And as always, we conclude with Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa.
ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך כל מה ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך כל מה ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך כל מה 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 ששנוא עליך אל תעשה לחברך ששנוא עלינו לא נעשה לחברינו כל מה ששנוא עלינו לא נעשה לחברינו
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.